This is Joe Markley sitting in for Tom Shattuck here at WTIC. Thanks for being with us. With me in the studio is my good friend, State Senator Rob Sampson. We are going to be going in just one moment to our friend Charles Miller, who's a senior attorney for the Institute for Free Speech. In fact, here he is. Charles, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for calling in. I'm sitting here in the studio with our friend Rob Sampson. And I haven't really gotten into the story. I was thinking that maybe we'd have a chance to tell the whole SEC saga before we put you on the air. And I'm not intending to go through the whole SEC saga. People that know Rob and I and that have followed our careers at all know that we got involved in a accusation from the State Elections Enforcement Commission about improper use of funds. And what we were accused of was having said that Dan Malloy was a lousy governor. And we were told that that was prohibited speech during a political campaign in the state of Connecticut. And there's a little more to it than that, but the rest of the story doesn't make it any more sensible than that. And Rob and I, that was the 2014 campaign this goes back to. Rob and I fought it through the administrative process. And then it was obvious that we were going to have to go to court. And really, we thought, how in the world are we going to do that? We're not lawyers. We can't afford lawyers. Who possibly could help us? And who stepped up magnificently, but the Institute for Free Speech and you guys, and you specifically, in giving us legal representation. So I wanted to give you a chance to come on here and talk a little bit about the Institute, the experience, and how people can help you.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. So, as you indicate, our mission is to help American citizens out there engage in the political process through their free speech efforts. This can be, as it was in your instance, helping candidates, navigate situations where they're essentially being confronted with unconstitutional restraints on their speech. It can be helping citizens that are trying to engage in the process, either directly through, engaging their in speech about topics, about ballot issues, efforts to make campaign donations, and we also focus on other areas of what's core political speech, and we do these representations for free. Because we think that this is extremely important for our country, and we also do it on a nonpartisan basis. We do it for Republicans, Democrats, Green Party, Libertarian. It really doesn't matter. We care about the constitutional rights here, not necessarily the specific underlying issues that people are facing.
Yeah, that is what you need to do. If you have a foundation dedicated to a principle, the principle's got to be applied fairly to everybody. Institute for Free Speech, it's if people that are interested in the group, it's ifs.org, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. What looking back on your experience in Connecticut, and you were with us here for a few years. What did you think about the whole thing, and what did you think about what you saw of the state of Connecticut and its legal processes?
Sure. Yeah. So, I guess sort of starting from the beginning, of what happened here. The way that we viewed this was that there was an unpopular governor who was up for re-election, and the folks at the SEC took steps that would have the effect of silencing criticism of him. They decided that if anyone, were to criticize, the Malloy tax increases, highlight their opposition to those as the two of you did, including discussing how you voted against those in the legislature, that somehow would not be speech about yourself, even though you're discussing your own votes and stances you took, but your position on the issue had nothing to do with your race, but it had more to do with his race. And so therefore, the only way you could make that expenditure is if someone not affiliated with you who, you know, had cause and legal ability to spend money in his race, would come in and give you some money to say that. You know, it's a, sort of stating, you know, the premise kind of defeats it. You know, it was ridiculous. You were out there campaigning on an issue, and, you know, he was identified with that issue, you know, and that's how you identify those things, you know, just as, you know, people, you know, identify as being, you know, either in support of or opposed to, you know, Obamacare, at the time. You know, people now, you know, can say that they support, Trump, or they're against Trump, and that's why they're running for office. And, you know, the fact that you would say that, you know, you're a Trumpy person, or that you're MAGA, the idea that you would say one thing, you know, and it's somehow, you know, affects his race, and if you say it the other, that it doesn't, you know, is quite silly. And, you know, unfortunately, though, as you indicated, you know, it took an entire decade to get to a result on this. And, you know, that's very concerning for us, because this direct political speech that we're talking about here, and particularly, you know, speeches that are about elections or ballot issues, you know, they're most important in the moment when those elections are happening. And if speech can be silenced, then that can impact elections. And, you know, and if there's no vindication of that, you know, for years to come, I think that your opponents in the meantime probably were sort of labeling you as, you know, campaign finance violators and all these things, that just was completely unfair. But because this legal process took so long, you know, there was a lot of punishment that you endured, you know, that just really cannot be undone.
Yeah, you know, and again, I'll go back and say, I don't know how we possibly could have done it without the Institute for Free Speech. And we got it. We didn't get you guys through any kind of connection that we had a lead. I sat down and researched groups that would stand up in free speech fights and sent a package off to the Institute of Free Speech 7 years ago or something, and quickly got a reply saying, hey, we're interested. And in no time at all, you folks came on board and stepped up and provided really excellent legal arguments for us. It wasn't just a case of somebody phoning it in with a kind of a boilerplate thing. I mean, we engaged representation that really believed in the cause. It was extremely encouraging and extremely reassuring for us to have it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we do what we can to, you know, practice this niche area of law, which is extremely specialized, and, you know, you have to do it at the highest and possible if you're going to be successful in this. You know, it is rather niche, and so maybe we don't do a very good job of sort of, you know, broadcasting ourselves to the general public to make everyone aware of what we're doing, like other sort of broader groups do. But again, if there are people out there that have have issues with respect to direct political speech, you know, at any level, you know, we're here to help.
Yeah, no, Charles, thank you for being on, and I just want to express my thanks and appreciation for IFS and for your efforts. You know, as Joe mentioned, I mean, I don't know what we would have done. I mean, we were effectively being railroaded by the bureaucracy, which is the danger of, you know, progressivism, which is the notion of getting away from, you know, representative government and elected people who are decision makers, and replacing them with, you know, so-called bureaucratic experts who, you know, sit behind a desk and, you know, they're the arbiters of right and wrong and justice. And there was nothing we could do. I mean, effectively, the people that said that we had committed a violation were the same people that were the judges and jury in the case, until we ultimately were able to challenge in court and have, you know, legal representation of superb quality that helped us become vindicated after all this time. And as you mentioned, I mean, the whole thing was, you know, kind of contrived to begin with. You know, they were clearly trying to use the bureaucracy, the SEC itself, as a mechanism to limit the amount of political speech that could be directed, against Democratic candidates across the board because of their association with the policies of the then sitting governor. And, the fact of the matter is that's perfectly legitimate. Joe, as the state senator at the time, and me as a candidate for state representative, we were effectively the check on the executive branch. And, we should have every opportunity to be able to discuss, what we would do in our role as a check on the executive and the governor. So there was nothing wrong with our speech. We knew that from the very get-go. And, thanks to the people that stood with us. And thank you for coming to our rescue to yes. defend the Constitution. And not us. I mean, we were caught up in it. But really, the victory is for free speech and for candidates in all parties going forward, that they're going to be able to use their voices as was intended originally.
Yeah, the fight was for free speech from our point of view all along, because the SEC was perfectly happy to let us off the hook as long as we admitted that we were wrong and they were right in silencing us. And even when we didn't have anyone to fight for us, we just couldn't bring ourselves to do that. So I was glad that you guys were there. Hey, what do you...
That's an extremely important point there, because, honestly, to some extent, the rational thing for you to have done, would be to take sort of the low-cost way out and, to take what they have offered you, which is promise not to do this again and we'll just let it go. But you guys understood the free speech principle that was at play here and stood up for that. And, when we see that, the effort that it takes to do that sometimes completely vindicate it, which is why we always try whenever we can to avoid these administrative processes and be able to do things to where you're sort of offensively going to court against the state versus having to kind of go up through the administrative process, which can be quite cumbersome, often very much, weighted against the speaker. So it's just sort of it's a matter of strategy if you can employ it. But when you get caught up in things like you did, you really don't have a choice at that point in time.
Yeah, and the great thing was once we got it before actual judges who didn't have a direct interest in the case, it was unanimous in our favor, even despite the group of judges that we were before, who were 100% liberal Democrats. They simply couldn't swallow it. But if we had stayed in the administrative process, we would have been sunk. So what do you guys have any hot cases going on that our listeners might be interested in?
Well, as I said, a lot of things that we do, can appear more wonky, but we do a fair amount of stuff, in different states where it comes up. For example, recently, just to demonstrate sort of cross-party things, I and another attorney with us represented a left-leaning reporter in Iowa who was denied credentials was able to successfully have her credentials given her so that she could report from the floor. She'd been denied credentials for many, many years, and there were sort of shifting reasons that were given for that, but we were able to come in and change that. So, everything that we do isn't necessarily election-related, but it is political speech-related.
Well, we very much appreciate what you've done for us, and we admire and wanted to share what you do for the country as a whole. And I really would encourage anybody who cares about this issue, that wants to support a group that is just pure as can be on it and as effective as can be on it. The Institute for Free Speech is that group. And the website, again, is ifs.org if you want to find out more or you want to help a little bit. Charles, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too.